Hello, this is Mitch McCormick, a social media specialist with the Community Capacity Building Content Area of the Military Families Learning Network. Today, we're interviewing Danelle Bybee, the Building Healthy Military Community State Coordinator in Minnesota, and Major Marion Belinsky, the State Family Programs Director for the National Guard. Thank you for being on the call. If you could just briefly talk about what Building Healthy Military Communities program is working on in Minnesota, and what can we expect to see in the next year?
Okay, this is Danelle, the BHMC State Coordinator for Minnesota. We're gearing up to host 6 Joining Community Forces conferences, the JPF conferences, Unite Yellow Ribbon Network volunteers, service providers, and community leaders for the purpose of sharing best practices, building relationships, and providing updates on military support initiatives. And I would just like to explain what those 3 items are that I just went over. Sharing best practices is where Yellow Ribbon Networks and other organizations advance successes and failures, somewhat similar to the concept of an after-action review. The best way to accomplish a given task can be captured and documented to be shared in order to benefit others. JFC conferences allow the sharing of information because of the diverse audience and the representation of numerous organizations together in one location. The process can be accomplished a variety of ways, both formally, which is on an agenda, and informally, which is networking. This purpose especially aids newcomers to supporting service members, veterans, and military families by providing ideas that should be successful the first time. The building relationships part of it is a key tenet of supporting service members, veterans, and military families is teamwork. JCF Minnesota conferences provide an annual opportunity for supporters and organizations to gain face time and reconnect with each other. Networking activities are important to the success of the conference series. And the Educate on Military Support Initiative, the conferences will bring together organizations from across the state and sometimes out of state in numbers and variety unmatched by other means. The conference series serves as the best forum for in-person education on an assortment of topics on current programs, plans, and initiatives to support the service members, veterans, and their families.
And also one of the things that I would like to add is as part of the education, we're educating them on the trends that are occurring within the state. And then also what Danelle will be transitioning into is how we try to make it more regional to ensure that the different providers and the volunteers and the service members can intermix within their regions to know how what resources and providers are available in their region. So with Minnesota, like other states, we have a lot of unique needs to our regions that may not affect the entire state, but may be geographically specific to a specific area, especially since the majority of the service members within Minnesota are geographically dispersed.
Our conferences are all free. There's 6 of them. And if anybody listening would like to come to a conference, we just ask that you please register for planning purposes. Our first one is September 12th. It will be at the Wedgewood Cove Golf Course in Abbott Lee, and that is for the Southeast region. September 26th will be at the Blackwoods Banquet Center in Proctor, and that will be the Northeast region. October 5th will be at Southwest Minnesota State University in Marshall, and that will be the Southwest region. October 24th will be at Minnesota State University Moorhead, which is Northwest region. November 2nd will be at Metropolitan State University in St. Paul, which is the Metro region. And on November 16th, we will host a JCF conference at Camp Ripley Education Center in Little Falls, and that will be for the Central region.
And of course, if anybody cannot make it for their specific region, they're welcome to come to any other region or to come to all of them or whichever one fits their schedule.
You had asked what can we expect to see in the next year. We're going to build strong relationships between all branches of service. which would be more community capacity, which will lead to fewer gaps in services.
And one part of the building healthy military communities that is going to be taking place hopefully in the November timeframe is a needs assessment that will look at the entire state as a whole. So once that assessment occurs, then we will have a better idea of the needs and we'll know where some of our gaps are and potentially some of our shortcomings. We're very excited to have an outside organization come in. It's a group of researchers, three researchers, and they're going to be assessing all of our resources, our stakeholders, and identifying any gaps that could potentially occur within the state of Minnesota.
All right. Well, that was a great introduction, and it'd be great to also see the results of that assessment. You know, when you're ready to share that information, we could come back again and do some more coverage on that piece. As far as all those conferences and dates go, for anyone listening, I think what we could do is share all that information on our community capacity building blog so that it's accessible and we can get that information out there for you.
That would be perfect. Thank you.
So could you talk about some of the challenges facing building healthy military communities in Minnesota?
Well, Mitch, right now, each branch of service in Minnesota has their own program and own family programs manager. So our goal is to get all the branches to the table so that we can be a force multiplier.
And then in addition to that, all branches are continuously deploying, you know, even though we are kind of drawing down overseas, we are still deploying and some of the deployments are becoming more specialized. So all soldiers need to be ready to deploy. And one of the things that's very unique about this pilot with BHMC is it's taking a holistic approach to the readiness for all of the branches of service. And the way that they're doing that is through a process called the Total Force Fitness. So it looks at eight different domains of readiness throughout the force. So it's looking, of course, at the physical domain, you know, for strength, endurance, flexibility, and mobility to ensure that we're physically strong to deploy. The social aspects, making sure that there's strong unit cohesion, social cohesion, family cohesion, and that people have a social support network. And of course, we're looking at the behavioral aspects of all service members, which is risk mitigation, substance abuse, and then of course, just taking care of yourself overall, like your daily habits. The psychological aspects would be your beliefs, your decision-making, your coping mechanisms that when you utilize when dealing with stress. And they're even taking a look at some of the nutritional assessment aspects, such as food quality, ensuring that people, when they're not, because Minnesota is such a large component of reserve component and National Guard soldiers, ensuring that they're getting the nutritional requirements that they need to maintain a healthy lifestyle, specifically because they only drill 2 days a month. So it's not like an active duty base where they can guarantee a food source for the service members. And of course, ensuring that those service members are making the healthy food choices. Another aspect is the spiritual aspect. You know, it's the people's values, beliefs, what they feel their own personal sense of purpose is and their ethical practices. Then making sure that everybody is maintaining their medical and dental readiness, you know, that they have access to health care, that they're maintaining their immunizations and preventative screenings, and that if a soldier or service member is injured, that they will follow through with the treatment that is prescribed by the medical professionals. And then another thing that's very interesting and unique to this pilot is the environmental aspects. Ensuring that people are maintaining a healthy environment and utilizing personal protective equipment, specifically seatbelts and of course helmets. Making sure that air quality is good, and also we're going to also be touching a little bit on homes and homelessness. So those are some of the challenges because it's such a large scope, making sure that we can look at that holistic approach because we know that, you know, any one thing that's off can affect the readiness of any service member.
Regarding Total Force Fitness, is there any specific aspect of Total Force Fitness that you're focused on in Minnesota or that you're finding to be challenging as far as, you know, meeting the needs of your service members?
One of the things that we're rolling out specific to Minnesota, this is our first year doing it, is we're focusing a lot on the physical aspects, ensuring that service members are physically ready to deploy. I can only speak for the National Guard and more specifically the Army National Guard, you know, ensuring that we're passing our Army physical fitness test and making sure that we're learning how to maintain that healthy diet. So this summer, for the first time ever, they're doing a wellness event at Camp Ripley, where they'll be bringing in some of our master fitness trainers and subject matter experts from throughout the state to come together and help soldiers do the things that are necessary to maintain that physical wellness throughout the year when, you know, they're not with their units to encourage them. So teaching them more of those healthy lifestyle habits by incorporating diet and exercise into their daily life. So they're going to be learning those habits. So we're hoping that they stick and that we have a success there. And that is something that Indiana has also started. So I know it's something that a lot of other states are doing as well.
Great. Who has the most to gain from the Building Healthy Military Communities program in your state?
The most to gain would be the service members, military families, and the veterans.
Absolutely. I agree with Danelle. Those are definitely our focuses are on the service members' readiness, ensuring that the family members are aware of the resources that are available to them, and then, of course, supporting our veterans once they come home.
Okay, and you mentioned, we spoke before the interview, you mentioned that you're collaborating with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Can you provide a brief introduction to that program and talk about how you're collaborating with them?
Yes, Mitch. Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program began with a vision to synchronize community resources in support of service members, veterans, and their families. This was an extension of Minnesota's innovative Yellow Ribbon reintegration training, which provided training and resources to returning Minnesota Guard and Reserve service members and their families. Program development was indicated by the objective to create community networks capable of providing the same resources, services, and support that returning service members and their families and veterans would receive if there was an active duty installation. In 2007, the City of Farmington offered to partner with the Minnesota National Guard and the University of Minnesota's Humphrey Institute to identify ways in which key areas within the community could coordinate and synchronize resources to support, honor, and recognize service members, veterans, and their families. Then what Farmington did is they documented their process, created procedures, and submitted a commitment of support to the state of Minnesota. With that, in December of 2008, at the time, Governor Tim Pawlenty recognized Farmington as the first Yellow Ribbon city. And since then, Minnesota has grown to over 219 Yellow Ribbon cities, 26 Yellow Ribbon counties, 89 Yellow Ribbon networks, and 54 Yellow Ribbon companies. Building Healthy Military Communities, we are working alongside Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, finding resources in the communities of the geographically dispersed service members, veterans, and their families, entering the resources in the service provider network, and connecting those resources with the family assistance centers and the Yellow Ribbon communities so that service members, veterans, and their families can go to one location and find services they need.
Just to brag on Minnesota a little bit, we've been doing this since 2007, so we're very excited to get this effort re-energized, to have a new look at it, because we have been doing this for 10 years, and we've had phenomenal volunteer support for the past 10 years from all the different communities throughout the state of Minnesota.
All right. Can you talk about past and future collaboration between the Cooperative Extension System and Building Healthy Military Communities?
a lot of the past cooperation and collaboration that we have had on family programs within the cooperative extension system is doing a lot of our teen and youth education by ensuring that we're teaching the teens and youth how to eat healthy, because we've worked a great deal with the nutritionists who work within the extension offices. So ensuring that the teens continue to live a healthy lifestyle by eating healthy. We've also worked with them on some community projects by having them come in and teach us how to do some of the high blankets that could later be donated to a children's shelter and family shelters through some of the outreach that they have done. We've also done the referrals for the cooking and the meal preparation for some of the soldiers when they come back from deployment. Being gone for such a prolonged period of time, some of them forget how to prepare meals, they forget how to cook on a budget because they haven't had to do that for such a long time. In the future and going forward, we'd like to expand some of our nutritional resources and to so we can ensure that our service members continue to receive that good nutritional requirement so they know which foods to for food selection, and then also to ensure that they can help us with the holistic approach to the readiness as well by helping us within our own force with some of the environmental things, and but primarily within that nutritional aspect of the readiness.
In regards to other nonprofits or local organizations or even military family service professionals, if they wanted to get involved with building healthy military communities, how would they go about doing that?
I would say the first step would be to come to a joining community forces event or conference, or contacting myself or Major Belinsky. Also check out the Service Provider Network online. The Service Provider Network in Minnesota, we have over 750 military and veteran-friendly providers. They can go on that site and enter their information. Once I receive it, I vet it and then approve them, and so then they're open to every state in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about Building Healthy Military Communities program?
This year is the 100th anniversary of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull, so we are very excited about that. And then we are also going to be doing a very large celebration at the Minnesota State Fair with the Military Appreciation Day on the 29th of August, which is the Great Minnesotan Get-Together. So we are very excited about those two events coming up this summer.
Yes.
Good luck with both those events. I'd like to thank you both, Danelle and Major Belinsky, for taking the time today to discuss your work in Minnesota. It's been very informational, and I hope it'll serve as a good model for others working to build capacity in their communities.
Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you, Mitch.